a mountain out of it. Oh, what a lovely day to have a slice of humble pie. Oh, recalling of a while we used to drive and drive here and there, going nowhere. To take a chance here, in time to compromise our lives just a little while. And it was time for all the wrong and lonely, lonesome reasons. But time is open on my side, but I'll give it to you tonight. And we sleep all day.
Good morning and welcome to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN 95.1 The One and AM 1080. Streaming on KYMNradio.net. Fun program this morning. You're going to enjoy it. It's plenty of sunshine outside. And there's going to be even more sunshine inside because Janet Smith joins us this morning along with Pete Mergens and Adam Danielson of the boys' golf team. So a lot of different things going on this morning. Liz Campbell and Evan Lowe will interview softball captains Samantha Mosley, Leah Ennedy, Rita Langford, and Paige Christensen this morning on the program. So let's kick it off, see what kind of a day we're going to have, see what kind of day the long-distance runners are going to have today. Sunny skies, it's going to warm up to about 78, but the winds are going to be out of the south at 10 to 20 with gusts as high as 30 miles an hour this morning. Whew. Okay, look out. Hold your hats on. Tonight, mostly clear, cooling off to around 49. And then tomorrow, sunshine and a high of 72. Those winds will shift and calm down for tomorrow. North-northwest winds barely blowing at 5 miles an hour. Tomorrow is going to be absolutely gorgeous. We're at 56 with plenty of sunshine this morning. And let's kick it over to Liz Campbell real quick and find out what's been going on in the Raider scoreboard.
Hello and good morning, everyone. Welcome to this week's Raider Sports Scoreboard. I'm your host, Liz Campbell, and you are listening to this week's Raider Wrap. Our girls lacrosse team had a scrimmage against New Prague on Saturday. Our boys golf team competed against Rochester Century here at home on Monday and competed again in Red Wing on Tuesday. Our girls golfers competed in Rochester on Tuesday against Century and beat them. Everyone on varsity placed top four. Our boys baseball team had their third game of the season on Tuesday here at home against Mankato East, losing 0-3. They played again on Thursday against Albert Lea, losing to the Scarlets with a final score of 1-3. We have no player data on these games at this time. The softball team played here at home against Mankato East on Tuesday, losing 0-10 to the powerhouse. They had another game on Thursday against Albert Lea, beating them 12-1. Our boys tennis team competed against Rochester John Marshall on Thursday and will compete later today in Faribault in a triangular meet. The boys lacrosse team headed off to Eagan on Thursday, losing with a final score of 2-5. Grant Selko and Bridger Riley both had a goal on the night, and Trey Shimoda had 9 saves. Last night, the boys and girls track and field teams had a triangular meet in Mankato against Mankato East and New Prague. Both the girls and boys teams came in second to Mankato East. Addison Enfield placed first in the girls' mile with a time of 5:31, and the varsity boys 4x1 relay placed first with a time of 43 seconds. Emily Beham also placed first in the girls' 300-meter hurdles. That is a wrap for this week's Raider Scoreboard on this week's Raider Wrap. Once again, you are listening to KYMN 95.1, The One. Keep tuning in for more sports.
Thank you, Liz. Appreciate that. And it is about 4 minutes after 10, so we've got Janice Smith in the booth with us this morning. And what do you think about those wins, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing some pretty good stuff already. We've had two meets, and the first week we won the meet We were first place for the girls out of seven teams. So that was pretty exciting. And then last night we went up against the defending Big Nine champs, Mankato East. The girls won the Big Nine last year, and we actually didn't do too shabby. We were only 20 points behind them, and then New Prague was in the mix there last night too. So we took second last night, and we're off to a really good start.
Yeah. Do you like what you're seeing?
Yeah, I'm really liking what I see. We've already had some personal bests, and I mean, to come back and be setting the times and distances that we were setting at the end of last season, already at the beginning of this season, really bodes well for where we'll finish up. So,
well, that sounds exciting. And of course, you in Faribault, though, you won that one, right?
Yeah, that was
first out of seven, so that's good. So, you bet 97 points ahead of second place Faribault. So, I mean, you've dominated. So, how do you explain that?
Yeah, or, I mean, you know, that was kind of not, it was a good surprise. I knew we were going to kind of a good team this year, better than last year. We actually lost to Faribault. We were ninth. They were eighth in the Big Nine last year, and we lost only by 2 points to Faribault in the Big Nine meet. So to go out and just crush them by 97 points at our first meet in the season shows me that we're going to be more in the top half of the conference this year versus the bottom half.
Nice.
Which is awesome. And now that we're in AA, section AA instead of AAA for sections in state, Faribault took second in AA and won AA last year. And if we can already top them, we're looking to be possibly, you know, looking for a first place against Winona, was the defending champs there. So we are sitting good for having a outstanding season as a team, and already a lot of individuals are showing a great potential. So
today you said you're going to take the distance runners for a run today.
Yeah, we keep rocking and rolling those distance runners. We go 6 days a week, and I let them sleep in a little bit though, since we didn't get back till 10:45 last night from Mankato East. So they're probably rolling out of bed about now, and I'll be meeting them in about half hour for practice.
Oh, nice. Do we know what we're having for breakfast yet?
I'm not sure what's on the menu. Sure we'll go work hard and eat whatever is in front of us.
So apparently you're going to have that at Evan's house.
Yeah.
He's a distance runner.
Yep. Evan Lowe, who's on this program, his family's hosting today. That's super nice of them. So.
Yeah, he's on this program. Mm-hmm. I didn't even see the invite this time. I don't know. Tell him I said hello.
I will.
So obviously everything barring injury,
mm-hmm.
and we know that, you know, things can happen. You can pull a quad, you can pull a hamstring, you know, who knows. So what do you do to kind of keep everybody in condition but not overdo it?
Yeah, I mean,
especially early like
this. You build into things, right? You set your program so you start kind of, if you think about like a normal curve distribution, sorry, I'm a math teacher, but if you think of a normal curve distribution, you kind of build into the season, you hit a peak kind of towards the middle of the season, then you taper off to make sure you're at your fastest and rested towards the end of the season. So we're heading up the mountain right now, up the little hill, working our way to the higher volume. And even with the sprinters, you know, they have to build into things too and get their endurance up. And work on their speed all at the same time. So we're working our way up that hill, and we're already, this will be week six already of a 12-week season. So believe
it
or not.
We're that far in.
Yeah, we're already that far in. I mean, we started 2 weeks before spring break. So spring break week was already our third week of practice. Came back our fourth week, had a meet.
But you've only had two.
We had two meets.
Two meets.
So we had a meet our fourth week and our fifth week. So we're starting into our sixth week this coming week. So.
Will it just be one meet a week then?
Yeah, we're pretty much a one meet a week team. We work on our training, of course, the rest of the week. It's really hard to go all out in a sport like ours too often, because then you can see that overtraining or that those injuries crop up if you're going 100% effort on a 100 meter dash, you know, more than once a week.
Right.
That's not always good for you. So.
Are there other teams that do participate in more than one a week? Or?
Once in a while, I've heard, you know, they could have one on a Monday and then one on a Friday or one on a Saturday. They'll back end it a little bit like that, but not very often. Most track meets, and as you can see, last night we got home at 11 o'clock. They're so long. They're a long day, and we also need to keep our kids rested, too. So.
Well, they were in school all day.
Yeah.
Right? And
yep.
then you went to
And then
Mankato.
We went to the meet. Yeah. So we were actually excused a little bit early from school, around 1:30, and the meet started at 4. And
wow.
then we weren't even done till after 9 o'clock. So.
Was there delays? Or
no. We just, three big teams.
Yeah.
It was New Prague, us, and Mankato East. And we all have between the boys and girls teams together, we each have 150 kids. So we were talking about 450 kids out there last night competing. And if everybody's in, you know, two or three events, that just
so
takes a while.
All 450 get to participate?
Yeah, that's what's great about our sport. We all just, we have the varsity has kind of a heat where they'll run against each other. You got to slate two of your top kids into the varsity heats or flights, and then you had your JV. And so we actually, JV took second last night too, so that's really fun
for
them.
For the girls.
Yeah, for the girls. Yeah, so it's great because everybody gets to go. We only have a couple meets of the year where we limit it just to the varsity. Otherwise, we're a one big happy team.
So how many technically are on the varsity then?
So we had about, we have about 75 out. Okay. And for the girls in the varsity, I would say 35 of those girls make up the varsity.
Okay.
I mean, you get, by the end of the season, you pick your top three in each event, but then of course there's some overlap there, right? Someone who's good at the 100 hurdles is often your best runner in the 300 hurdles also.
Right.
But then there's also some kids who will triple jump and then they'll be a thrower, you know, something like that. So interesting combinations of where people's strengths are and things. But of course, distance runners tend to be distance runners and sprinters tend to be sprinters. And there's not a lot of mix there. So,
yeah. So see, I ran 100 low hurdles and a high jump. So yeah, I would participate in that, you know, stuff like that. So, but not all of them run either, right? Some of them are literally field.
Yeah, we have some real, like, just only field event people. So our girls, a lot of the girls, there's only a couple who will do the 100 meter dash, for example, or they'll go over and triple jump, who's a thrower. But a lot of the throwers, they'll just throw.
Right.
And a couple pole vaulters, all they do is pole vault. They're just kind of a pole vault
expert.
That's
all they do.
Yep. Yeah. But a lot of the other pole vaulters will get into the sprints, or some of them hurdle and things like that as well. So, yeah, we like to mix it around. I think there's only like maybe one or two girls on the team who just specialize in one event. Otherwise, everybody else does at least two. So, yeah, get to spread our talents around.
Nice. Janet Smith, head coach of the girls track team, joins us this morning. But you're also, you're head coach of the girls team, but you're also, and we've talked about it, we've hit on this before, you're also the distance coach for both teams.
Yes.
Explain your role when it go when you go up with the boys team. How do you participate, or what do you do?
You know, at a typical practice, we'll have a quick meeting as a girls team and say, okay, here's what we're doing today, and our focus this week is on self-confidence or whatever, you know, and the girls will focus on what they need to focus on. And then we send them off to their events, their specialty events. So then after the boys have a meeting and we have a meeting, girls do, we split up into our different groups. And so then all the distance kids, boys and girls, come to me and Doc Riley, Patrick Riley, he coaches with me on the distance side. And then they come to us and then we run our distance practices at practice, working with those kids, both boys and girls, individually. We'll have like a 3 or 4 tiered training program for them. So kind of the lower mileage athletes, and then kind of the middle mileage athletes, and then the higher mileage athletes. And then amongst those groups, we also have like the paces for the varsity boys and the paces for the JV boys and the paces for the varsity girls and JV girls. And so we break it up into just pace groups, and but we're all doing the workout together, but boys will run their rep, then the girls will run their rep, and we just kind of back and forth. And
so they're doing probably conditioning stuff, so they're running sprints and stuff at that point, right?
Yeah, so you know, we'll have a lot of maintenance mile days where we just go out on a run, but then we'll have our speed endurance days on the track where we're on there timing the kids and making sure they're hitting their paces and things like that. So
let's say they're, so if they're a mile runner or something like that, when you say they run in their pace, do you have them run like 400 yards and you want them to do it in,
one
minute and 10 seconds or whatever?
Yeah. So this week we actually, everybody did 400s, even the 2 milers down to the 800 runners. And we did it at what everybody's potential 2 mile pace would be, like their 3,200 pace. So like 88% of their VO max. So I have this chart where I put in everybody's personal best from either cross country or last year's track season. And then I calculate what paces they should be doing for a 200 workout or a 400 workout at a certain percent VO max effort, so that they know approximately what pace they should be hitting for different workouts. And sometimes we're going hitting over VO max pace to kind of over speed train. And then sometimes we are trying to go a little bit under just for the speed endurance aspect. So it depends on if you're doing like speed development, fast stuff, or if we're going more for the speed endurance stuff. But there's always a plan for each workout of like what the purpose is of what part of your heart and system and lungs you're trying to work and exercise and get into shape. So
are you going around the track with them? Slow down, speed up.
I mean, I run back and forth between the 200 and the 400 or the finish line and just kind of shout out splits. And they should know like, oh, I should be coming through the 200 at 36 and Smith just called out a 34. I better back off a little bit, okay. You know, so they kind of have it in their heads of where they're supposed to be. And I love that they come with their watches and they're rearing to go and they follow my directions and adjust as necessary. So, because there's a lot of them, right?
Right.
They can't just be yelling out for just one kid.
Right.
But they work in their groups really well together and, you know, help each other out. So
do you have the girls and the boys running at the same time?
Yeah.
During that practice?
Pretty much. I mean, like I said, it's kind of a staggered start.
Yeah.
So like a couple boy groups will be going and then the girls will go or vice versa. And then Doc or I will alternate. Like today he'll do the boys and I'll do the girls. And then next week I'll do the girls workout and he'll do the boys workout. Just so they hear different voices and get different advice about things. I worked a lot. There was a few kids I was focusing on their just form a little bit and just their turnover. I have some kids who come in from cross country season who are kind of, I'll say, typical overstriders, you know, just because they're a little bit more loping and they have that nice long, like, I'm going to go run a 5K type race look to them. And we need to work on like speed, like get a faster turnover and, you know, that kind of a thing. And so maybe shorten up their arm swings so that they're not overstriding and, you know, break. Because if you overstride, you're hitting your heel on the ground out in front of you instead of underneath you. So you're being less efficient with your energy in the ground.
No wonder my feet hurt. Well, I'm lying. I don't actually run distance. So that's just running across the street. So what's coming up? You already said that you've already got some personal bests.
Yeah.
That people have already surpassed personal bests.
Yeah.
Last night you took second. There was a couple of some good winners with some personal bests. You got anything?
Yeah. So Claire Forward, who's one of our distance runners, she actually took second to Addison Enfield, which Liz had mentioned in her Raider rap. But she had a personal best in the mile. Emily Beham last week had a couple personal bests in her hurdle races, and she won her hurdle race last night. We've got Elena French, who's throwing really well already at the beginning of this season. Her throw last night was amazing in the shot put. I think it's put her in the top 10 in the state right now. Even that's in all classes, so she'd possibly be eligible for the Hamlin Elite Meet, which comes up in a couple weeks.
Oh, nice.
So we're watching the rankings there because, again, we're trying to get as many kids in to get invited to that meet if possible. It's fun. I know Elsa Peterson, one of our sprinters, came out first meet of the year last week and set a couple personal bests in the 100 and the 200. So I know I'm forgetting people, right? But I know Tegan Maddow had a high jump last week and hit 5 foot already. And last year she was only at like 4.11 or something like that, or 4.10. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Kids are coming out with some energy and excitement about the season.
Good. Well, so. sounds like fun, but
yeah.
It was crazy how the season kind of started. And then on the first day of spring, it snowed and we had snow everywhere. And it was, it's like, did you go back inside during that time or?
Yeah, that was kind of spring break week there, you know?
Okay.
So, we had a lot of athletes were out of town too, but we were in the dome for that week and we monitored and adjusted there and did some speed stuff in the dome, which is super nice to have available. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, we've had a few cold, chilly days out on the track, but the weather seems to be nice this weekend. So hopefully it'll bring into next week and hopefully we're past all the really cold stuff.
25 mile an hour gust winds today.
Oofta.
Yeah. It's coming up on 10:20, so I got to get you going. You got breakfast. Are you having you're running and then breakfast or breakfast and then running?
No, of course we got to run and earn the breakfast.
Okay, well, you enjoy that run with those types of gusty winds. Try to, you know, get the wind in behind you a little bit.
We'll do. I'll
So are you going to time this too, or are you literally just going to go running?
Nope. Today's just a maintenance run. I mean, they worked really hard last night on the track. Most of them probably haven't even eaten much between their races last night and their morning run today. So we'll just go out to get the miles on our legs, shake out the lactic acid, and just get the time time and energy on our bodies, and then
you gotta do a mile, 2 miles.
Oh, they're going 50 minutes, 60 minutes, or 70 minutes out on the roads. So,
and can they pick their own pace?
Well, they shouldn't be going so slow that they like are losing their normal form or anything. Okay. They should be talking pace, being able to have a conversation with their running partner, but we're not going to feel exhausted when we're done.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. So, 70 minutes of running.
Yeah. It's fun. We choose to do this.
I'm out of breath already. Janet, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, it sounds good.
So when's the next meet?
We turn over the weekend and we go back to compete on Tuesday already down in Winona.
Okay. So, and this, of course, is
good. Yeah, Tuesday in Winona.
Set a bar here, too, depending on where you're at and if how you come out of that.
Yeah, for the girls, it'll be fun to see Winona because, again, they were the first in the section last year. So we get to see a couple of the really good teams in our conference and section right away. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for coming
in. Thanks for having me.
Enjoy the day.
You too.
Janet Smith, head coach of the girls track team. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. I think we got Pete Mergens coming up next with the trap team coming up. You're listening to the Raider Wrap on 95.1 The One KYMN.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
At Benjamin Bus, we have an excellent team of drivers. With over 400 years of combined driving experience, Benjamin Bus drivers are proud of their excellent safety record and accomplishments. Join our team, get paid, and enjoy being a big part of Raider Nation. We at Benjamin Bus are proud of the accomplishments of the Northfield Raiders and wish all of the Raider student athletes a safe and successful season. Contact us, Benjamin Bus, your trusted friend on the road.
At Merchants Bank, we're committed to creating thriving communities and helping our customers succeed. Hi, I'm Rob, the mortgage lender at Merchants Bank. It is such a privilege to work with a company where all employees are focused on providing the very best customer service. We'll be with you every step of the way as we work towards your financial goals together, whether it's growing a business, buying a home, or planning for retirement. Yeah, we're a bank, but what we really do is make life moments happen. Stop in. I look forward to making your goals a reality.
Kids are constantly changing, both physically and emotionally. That means the challenges of parenting change too. At Northfield Hospital and Clinics, our pediatricians are experts in kids. Our pediatric team works with you to provide the best individualized care and guidance through all your child's stages of growth. And we take the time to listen to your questions and concerns too. When only the best for your kids will do, schedule an appointment with the pediatric team at Northfield Hospital and Clinics, partnering with you for a lifetime of care.
95.1, The One.
Thank you for joining us this morning on the Raider Wrap. Sunny skies today, a high of 78, breezy wind conditions, south winds 10 to 20, gusts as high as 30. Good luck on that distance runs there, runners. And tonight, mostly clear, cooling off to around 49 tonight. Tomorrow is going to be just a dream. Sunny, a high of 72, light north-northwest winds 5 miles an hour. So tomorrow, absolutely stunning. Sunday night, mostly clear, with a low of around 44. And then on Monday, a 20% chance of showers, sunny and a high of 73. Monday night, showers are likely, and the winds will pick up a little bit, breezy, cooling off to only around 53. And then for Tuesday, showers and possible thunderstorms, high of 62, with, they say, a 99% chance of rain on Tuesday. But today, again, plenty of sunshine to get out and about and enjoy the day. So speaking of which, we're going to bring Pete Mergens in, the head coach of the trap team. Correct? I believe it is the trap team.
Yep. We refer to it as the clay target team because
there it is.
We have both the trap team and the skeet team under that umbrella.
Gotcha. So let's see. Did you start right after spring break or were you going before that?
Well, pretty much right after spring break. Our first weekend was supposed to be Easter weekend, and since we compete on Sundays, that doesn't work real well on Easter weekend. So last weekend was our first practice, And, of course, it was raining
right.
and very windy and very cold. And so now this weekend, we're actually having a back-to-back. So today we practice, and tomorrow we shoot our reserve scores before next weekend we go into our regular season.
Excellent. And is that still up in, was it Montgomery?
It's actually in Morristown, at the Morristown Gun Club.
Okay. And that so today, yep. what time are you doing that today?
We will be starting at 2 o'clock, and we will be probably, I think last week we got done at about 7 o'clock in the evening.
Wow.
So it's a long day, especially in the cold and the rain.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We'll be happy to have the sun out today and not have to be all bundled up today,
right.
hopefully.
So this takes a little bit of time. I know you said that you were in your office doing some work today, so this is going to take
yep.
most of your afternoon today. And then tomorrow, do you start at 2
yep.
again tomorrow?
Yeah, we do. We're actually, I'm down at the gun club by noon each day because there is some open to the public shooting that goes on, and so the kids get an opportunity. Part of the good problem that we have is we have so many kids on our team, and unfortunately there's limited time to practice, and so the gun club opens at 11, and they're open to the public from 11 to 2.
Mm.
So a lot of our kids show up early to get some extra rounds in, and so I try and get down there to help them along and work out any things that they're working on. But really, like I said, the first three times out is just practice. So we are working on a lot of things during the day, but it's very difficult when you have four trap houses and five students on each trap house every half an hour. So it's difficult to get one-on-one time with them.
Sure.
And so that's where we try and perfect our game is at practice.
So you only get to practice on the weekends, correct?
That's correct. It's up to the students to go out to the other gun clubs and ranges that are around us during the week and try and get some practice rounds in. It's a very complicated thing with the size of our sport and how popular it has become. It has revived all these gun clubs that had some, you know, older gentlemen and ladies out there, you know, kind of just doing their thing. It's a very popular sport with adults, but the kids and the youth movement that has happened has revitalized and changed all these gun clubs. They're remodeling, they're putting in additional ranges, it's really been an amazing thing to watch. The benefit is so multi-layered to the public and to what these kids are getting. It's just spectacular.
Nice. So I know you had a pretty big squad last year. Is it the same size, a little bit bigger, a little smaller?
It's actually a tiny bit smaller. It's still really big in the realm of things. I think last year we had 96 kids. This year we're down to, I think, 92. Plus then we have 10 kids that shoot skeet. And so it's still a very big squad to try and accomplish what
right.
we're accomplishing. I have 26 assistant coaches this year.
Wow. Is that up?
It is. It's hard because the more students we have, it's hard. It's a 7-8 hour commitment, and so for coaches, it's not just me that's putting in all this time. It's all these assistants as well.
Sure.
And so the more I have it, the easier it makes for someone to be gone on a given weekend. So
are all these assistant coaches, are they just parents? Are they actually, you know, like maybe gunsmiths or experts or anything like that?
Well, that's a really great question. So the majority of them are parents or start out as parents. We have maybe four or five that their kids have gone through the program and have moved on, but they find it to be so so much fun and so gratifying helping these students that they come back. As an example, my skeet coach is 77-year-old Vietnam veteran that loves to skeet shoot, and just met him at the range one day, and he's an amazingly talented person, and now he's been on my coaching staff for a couple of years. So myself and the entire team, a coaching staff, we're not paid in the least bit, and this is It's all volunteer. So I actually started a program several years ago that I am, I've been training my coaches. So whether they're parents or people who are, their kids have moved on, we go through a training program every single year that involves a couple hours of classroom, and then we take them out to the range and we actually teach them the methodology that, that we're teaching the students, because you can't have a teacher who has never experienced it. So that's something that's changed dramatically over the years for our team, and it's we're having huge success because of it.
So for us sedentary people, what is the difference between clay targets and skeet?
Yep. So within the state high school league and within the USA Clay Target League, there are actually four different programs now that we can shoot at the high school level. So trap is one of them. Skeet is another. Then there's what's called five stand and sporting clays. Our school right now participates in two of the sports, and that is trap and skeet. The difference between trap shooting comes out of one trap house at 42 miles an hour within a certain range, so many degrees of the trap house left and right, and there's five stations that each student shoots five times at each station for a total of 25 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Skeet is a little bit different. It's quite a bit more complicated in terms of the difficulty level. So there are two trap houses. There's a what's called a high house and a low house, and they're at the ends of a half circle. If you can envision that, take a circle, cut it in half, keep the bottom half, and at the very top edges, you would put a high house on one side and a low house on the other. So what happens is there's a total of eight stations that they shoot from, and they get, again, it equals 25 rounds, mm-hmm. but it's kind of broken up in such a way that the first two and the last two stations are four targets. Everything else in between is only two targets. But the degree of difficulty is that you're shooting targets that are crossing your body versus ones that are just going away from your body. So you have to lead a target in this case.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an amazing sport to watch. It's so much fun to watch. And it takes a different level of dedication by these students. And so that's why we only have room on our team for 10 students. So while we take all the trap shooting kids, we more or less have I hesitate to call it a tryout, because it isn't about your scores. It's about your dedication to the sport that matters.
Mm-hmm.
But we do take a list of maybe a dozen kids or a dozen to 15 kids, and we try and come up with a team of 10 kids out of that.
Every week, is it different every week, or do you just take your best out of it every week?
It's taking the best out of every week, the best scores. That's how it works.
So you guys had, I think, a pretty successful season last year. What's your anticipation this year?
Well, last year our skeet team took a state title. So so yes, we are going to be defending champs this year, and we believe our skeet team will be able to do that. Trap shooting is a little more difficult in that there's so many trap teams. There's less skeet teams, but there's so many kids that participate. Last year we missed the state tournament by two targets. But then we went on to the Nationals in Mason, Michigan in July, and we took two squads out there, and we ended up taking 24th in the nation out of 240 of the best teams in the country.
Very nice.
So I was extremely proud and pleased of our kids. So we're hoping to not only get into the state tournament, but have a very high ranking there this year. And again, same thing for nationals. We have high hopes. Speaking of the methodology that we put in place and the training of these coaches a few years ago, Jimmy, we've now seen, you know, years ago, when we first started the team, we would end up having five or six kids that were clearly gifted kids that would have to perform on those days in order to get us into the state championship. Now we've got about 30 or 40 kids that have the ability. And so it should get easier and easier for us, in theory, to make it to the state tournament every year and place really, really well.
Awesome.
So now, the fruits of our labor.
Is your team locked down? Your team's locked down, right? Nobody can enter at this point.
Yep, nobody. It's already started. It's a very definitive hard date. So the team is locked down.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking time from your busy day, and especially unexpectedly, I had a cancellation earlier today. So Pete was nice enough to jump on the phone and talk about his team today, and I really, really appreciate that. I wish you the best of luck this year, and congratulations on an excellent season last year, and good luck to you and the trap team Clay Targets team, right? Clay Targets and trap team? Okay.
You got it. Clay Target team.
Clay Target team. Head coach, Pete Merrigans. Thanks, Pete. Have a good day.
Thanks, Jimmy.
You betcha. And we'll take a quick break. Come back. Hopefully we'll get Adam Danielson, from the golf team. Get him back on the phone here this morning as well. You're listening to the Raider Wrap on 95.1 The One and AM 1080 KYMN.
A health savings account from Community Resource Bank can help you save money on medical expenses when used in conjunction with... competitive interest rate. Stop by one of our locations or visit crb.bank to learn more. Community Resource Bank, let's bank together. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
If there is one thing we have learned over the previous few years, it's that we all do better together. The Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce believes in the power of community. This is why, for over 100 years, they have focused on growing and developing Northfield and the surrounding area into a thriving community that it is today. The Northfield Area Chamber is a local nonprofit that creates meaningful connections between businesses and the working professionals who work so hard to make this town thrive. When you become a member of the Northfield Chamber of Commerce, you open the door to so many of those opportunities. Together, we all do better. Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce, supporting business, connecting communities, and growing a greater Northfield.
Hi, this is Paul Ryland from Johnson Ryland Homes. Another new addition that's coming to Dundas is called Tower Heights. It's an extension of the Bridgewater Heights neighborhood up by the roundabout on Highway 1. We're going to have about 30 single-family lots, and they are ready now.
Hit our website today, jrbr.builders. Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom-built homes meet your budget and your dreams.
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
Rock, blues, reggae, alt country, Americana, jazz, pop, it's all good on 95.1 The One.
The One.
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap right here on 95.1 The One, KYMN, about 22 minutes in front of 11 o'clock this morning. And we are going to check in here this morning with the head coach of the boys, the golf team. And then that's, of course, Adam Danielson. Adam, good morning, sir. How you doing? Are you out in the golf course right now?
Not yet. Hopefully later.
Would that be just recreational for yourself, or will that be actually practice?
Recreational for myself. Also, I have two boys coming up, too, that like to play a lot of golf, too, so hopefully get them out on course today.
Nice. So, again, just prior to spring break, we had some really good weather. We hadn't had any snow. Nothing was going on. And then all of a sudden, boom, on the first day of spring, we get snow. Outside of that, have you had an opportunity to kind of grade your team and figure out where they're all at this year?
Yeah. Actually, it's kind of weird. The week before our season actually started, the course was open, and it was absolutely gorgeous out. So even though I was out there, we couldn't practice before then. But then the weather kind of got bad, so we were inside for a little bit, and spring break hit. But course has been open for about a week and a half, and we had our first match on Monday. So, yeah, it's been nice to get outside and start seeing where guys are at.
So today is beautiful, like I said, but you don't practice on the weekends, is that right?
Nope, not usually.
Okay, you should just tell the kids, say, hey, go golfing this weekend if you want it, but get out there. And...
Yeah. I mean, the golf course is pretty busy on the weekends.
Right.
So our guys just practice on their own. But, yeah, if you go out to Northfield Golf Club, you'll see a lot of Northfield Raider bags around the course.
So do you spend a lot more time during the week on the range, or do you try to get on the course and then do rounds, or how do you go about your practices?
Yeah, a little of both. We try to get out Mondays and Wednesdays and Thursdays. Our guys usually play nine holes. Tuesdays, we work on a lot of short game stuff, and then we'll go out to the range, and then kind of the same thing on Fridays. Tuesdays and Fridays are a little bit busier at Northfield Golf Club. But Northfield Golf Club is very accommodating, so we get some tee times on 3 days a week at least. And then our guys a lot of times go out later in the evening, sometimes by themselves, just to keep practicing.
So do you have certain conditioning things that you do, like certain exercises that you encourage them or tell them, or do you do during practice that, you know, helps with, you know, the natural rotation and swing of the club?
We don't get a whole lot of that. It's a lot more of just setting up drills to help them kind of improve their score. The season's so short to begin with, like, difficult to kind of do some other type of exercise, things like that, weight training. But our guys are out on the course a lot, and then, like I said, we set up drills to help them work on certain things to help them lower their scores or work on some areas of weakness.
Do you ever say to them, hey, by the way, if you're going to go to, let's say you're going to go to the gym and work out tonight, focus on this. Do you encourage them in any way? Is there certain particular, workouts or something like that you could do to improve your game, maybe your core or something like that?
Yeah, core and flexibility are huge things for golfers to keep working on those. A lot of our good golfers are in other activities too, so they're working on a lot of those things. We have a lot of hockey players this year, a lot of kids in other sports, so our guys stay in pretty good condition throughout the year, but especially the flexibility piece and core strength really is important for a golfer.
So just if you concentrate on core strength types of exercising, that will help your game.
Yep. And they're young. They're in high school. They're
sure.
Pretty flexible to begin with. So, yeah, they and pretty active. So,
right.
Yeah, we don't have to focus a whole lot on that stuff during the season.
So you've had a couple outings so far, haven't you, now?
Yeah, we had our first match on Monday against Rochester Century, really good Rochester Century. In a dual match, our varsity lost by 4 shots. It was at Northfield Golf Club. It was pretty close down to the stretch. It was not a real warm day. It was pretty cold on Monday,
right.
But it was good to get out there and play. Our JV had a nice win too. We have a very deep program this year of golfers. So, we've been out for one match. So next week we have 2 matches. So, yeah, we're easing into the season with that.
So, what do we got next week?
Monday we're down at Albert Lea Wedgewood Cove. For a dual match with Albert Lea, conference match, and then Thursday we have a varsity match in Hastings at Hastings Golf Club. About 10-12 teams in that, some good
wow.
teams in there to stack up against.
Is that an all-day deal, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's a shotgun start. It's kids are out of school for the majority of the day, but it's just 6 golfers. It's only varsity on that day, so yeah. But it goes pretty quick with the shotgun start.
How many kids you got on the golf team this year?
We have 24 this year.
Okay, and 6.
About half of them are new to the program.
Okay, and 6 of them are the varsity?
Yep, 6 varsity, and that rotates depending on where guys qualify with their scores. Obviously, there's some guys that are typically always on varsity, but there's a few guys that are competing to get to those spots.
Sure. And then you just decide that right before each match, or...?
Yep, we decide. I mean, usually I try to get kids a couple of days' notice based on qualifying rounds and practice or also how they shoot in the meet before. So, like, our match on Monday, it's a JV varsity. There's 12 guys going. So there's a number of them that are trying to get those last couple spots of varsity. So that'll be a kind of an indicator on who's going to play on our Thursday varsity-only match.
Okay. So put a grade on it. How do you think? What do you think? You got some good talent coming back? You got some nice expectations this year?
Yeah, we definitely do. We're a young team, but, yeah, we have a lot of really, really good golfers. Like I said, competition is high. But yeah, by the end of the year, we should be in the mix for the conference and hopefully the section championship.
Very nice. Very nice. How'd you end up last year?
Last year we ended up, I think, third in the conference, and then we were fourth in at sections, but we were only 9 shots out of winning the section. It was a really tight section, so we were right there all the way until the end at sections. Just fell a little bit short.
You going to tee it up at the country club today, or are you going somewhere else?
Yeah, I go out to the golf club quite a bit. Yeah, I'm a member there, so that's where I played most of my golf at. But yeah, I try to get my own children out into the range and to other courses too.
Okay, well, there's gusts of 30 miles an hour today, so keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on that flag.
Yep.
All righty. Adam, I appreciate you taking the time today and joining us. Good luck to you and the team this year.
No problem. Thank you very much.
All righty. Adam Danielson, head coach of the boys golf team. And I keep looking over at the screen here, and I see softball, softball, softball. And I got the word softball stuck in my head. So needless to say, they are interviewing. It's going to be Meet the Raider with Liz Campbell and Evan Lowe. And they're going to interview the softball captains. So let's take it away to this week's Meet the Raider.
Hello and good morning, Raider Nation. You are tuned into Meet the Raider, Northfield's youth-led sports radio show. I am your host, Liz Campbell.
And I'm Evan Lowe. Today in the studio, we have softball captains Leah Ennedy, Paige Christensen, Samantha Mosley, and Rita Langford. Thank you all for joining us today.
Absolutely.
So the softball season has just started up. How are you guys feeling going into this season?
I know we had our first 2 games were probably the hardest games that we're going to play this season, so it was definitely a wake-up call.
I agree. I do think it was more of a wake-up call to us, and we can learn from what we have done in the last 2 games.
Talking about those 2 games, you had a game against Mankato East last week, and then what was the other game that you guys played?
We played Mankato East yesterday and Mankato West last week.
Okay, so the 2 Mankato schools, and they're pretty dominant in the Big 9 this year, or what was the matchup against them like?
Mankato East was state champions last year, so that was definitely, whoa. I was actually super proud of our girls because the thing at practice was, okay, if you want to stay after and get more cuts off of a 65-mile-per-hour pitch, I think majority of us stayed. I think everyone did.
And then, Samantha, like for your softball pitching, 65 miles per hour is actually a lot faster than if that was in baseball, just because of the mound and all that. So what was it like going against a pitcher like that from
East? Of course. So, yeah, against East, you almost had to start right away in your load. You couldn't move your legs because right when she releases that pitch, it's coming. It's humming right down the middle. So you got to swing right as she releases it. But that East pitcher, she only pitched 2 fastballs, got ahead, and then threw a changeup, which was like 10 miles an hour slower. So yeah, you got to be ready thinking, I'm going to hit this ball and then swing right away.
And you guys talked a little bit about how people were staying after practice to practice on those balls. How exactly did you prepare for that mentally? Like, what were the steps you guys took to prepare?
We took steps by like not getting down on ourselves to be ready for this pitcher. But I think the changeups really messed us up.
Going off of what Paige said, we also worked on attacking the pitch in the front of the strike zone or like the front of the plate so that it just has more juice when you hit it out there. And especially with a fast pitcher, it's easier. And then we also worked on, like Paige said, our confidence and just your mindset going in. Because hitting is 90% in your head and then the rest is just what you can do.
Yeah. And like Rita said earlier, I mean, when you're up in the box, you can read the spin of the pitch because I know Stengel, she has a rise ball, she has a screwball, she has a curveball. So she has a wicked change, like Samantha said. So by being in the front of the box, you can read that quicker and hopefully get it more in the center of the strike zone instead of kind of after the spin happens.
For sure. And Paige, you mentioned something about a changeup, and you guys were talking about fastballs a little bit. Could you guys explain to our listeners that don't really know a lot about softball, like what those are and how that might be an advantage towards the other team by using that?
So her fastball was her fastest pitch that she pitches, which is roughly around 65 miles an hour, give or take. Then her changeup is what she worked on, so she'll throw a little different spin, which will slow down the ball, which it was about 10 miles an hour slower, which was hitting 55, which threw a lot of hitters off. And then she didn't really throw her rise ball much, but it'll start low and then rise up. And then she had a curve, which will start like you think it's coming in as a strike and then curve outside. So then you hit it off the very end of your bat. And then her drop ball is where it'll start up high. So you think it's coming in at like chest high and then it'll drop suddenly and then you're screwed. You can't hit it. So we just, like Rita said earlier, we wanted to be in the front of the box, hit the ball out in front of us so we could time it perfectly that it didn't drop.
You guys are also trying to figure out what the team dynamic is this year, losing a couple key seniors like Courtney Graff and Lucy Menson. So how has that kind of played out? What are you guys looking to do to kind of redevelop the team this year?
How many seniors did we graduate? I think we graduated like 9. Because we graduated so many, a lot of the girls kind of came up together as a team. So they were kind of bonded. And I know, like, on the bus ride there and back, there is so much music being played, and being a senior and kind of going from what they had previously and kind of that music, it was such a genre change.
Different feel of the team this year.
Yeah.
On the field, have there been any, like, major changes or adaptations you've had to make considering that you do have such a fresh team this year?
And yeah, like Rita said, I think because it's so early in the season, we're definitely going to see a lot of changes within the next couple of games because definitely nervous and like, oh, it's varsity time. I'm excited to see what they do and how they kind of become comfortable.
For sure, Leah. As the season develops and you get to the postseason, what are you kind of thinking about for the team? What are the goals for this year for the softball team?
Yeah, so we lowered a section actually. So now we're playing the smaller schools such as Byron and Stuartville, Faribault, Austin, Kess and Manorville. So it's like we're big fishes in a small pond, where last year we were small fishes in a big pond because we were playing those tougher schools. So this year we actually have a chance at going to state, which all of us truly want, us seniors especially, one more time at state. So it's just going in it with the mindset you give it your all or else you're done. Just keep fighting until the very last moment.
Going off of what Samantha said, I think our team knows that we have something to prove. We have really talented players on our team, and we know that we can beat these teams, and I think it'll just be so worth it to prove it and actually show people that we're good and we're not just Northfield with a bunch of young players on our varsity team.
And besides state, how would you guys say the section change will affect your team this year in terms of like competition and like how much better you're going to get because you're playing not such completely like obliterating teams?
For sure. I think we can keep up our fight this year. We'll actually have a good fight and keep up with this competition. Like, it's pretty equal among our teams.
Especially with pitchers, because I know Lakeville North, they have 4 pitchers in their roster, so they can constantly just switch people out and their pitchers don't get tired. Where with us and kind of going to a smaller section, have opportunity to kind of take advantage of pitchers and say, hey, we're here, even though it's the 3rd time around the order, we can still hit you.
And thinking about more of the preseason, what did you guys do to prepare the team for this upcoming season?
We started captain's practice super early. I mean, usually we start kind of a month before, so about March, but we started in January and it was just batting practice, but I think that really brought some of the girls together before the season even starts.
Going off of that with Leah, there's always a dome ball team in the winter time, and so we put a lot of effort into that this year, and the first couple games weren't the greatest, but then we focused in, got dialed, and we kept up a good fight. We faced one of our section teams that we'll play this year, Cass and Manorville. Kept a good fight against them. Like I said, they're actually pretty even and we have a chance of beating them this year. So it's just people showing up to those captain's practices, dome ball games, putting in that effort, and it'll all pay off this season.
If you're just tuning in to the Raider Wrap, we're meeting with softball captain Samantha Mosley, Leah Ennedy, Rita Langford, and Paige Christensen. Softball is a little bit different than most sports because it's so strategic. The coaching staff has to do so many different things to kind of just score, because that's how, like, close infield and all of that. So how would you say the coaching staff and just having seniors that have been playing for a long time has helped the team develop their strategy while playing?
I like to describe it as an onion, where it has lots of layers. I mean, there's so many different things. You have to focus on the batting order and kind of your first runner, you really want them to get on just so you can have that run. But then, like, your 4th and 5th batters is a power hitter, so they can drive those runners in and get them around the bases. But also just who's feeling good that day? I mean, if you're going to put a pitcher in, then you want them feeling good. You want them to be able to hit their spots really well.
Going off of that, even for our defense, the assistant coach actually has a clipboard and with some notebook paper. And he's even writing down, say we were facing West earlier this season, he's writing down the order and then where they hit the ball, if they walked, if they struck out, if they hit a ground ball to third base, whatever. So then the next time when they come up, we're all talking to ourselves and adjusting to how they hit previously. Yeah, we may be wrong, but it's just a little advantage to ourselves, and it's actually helped us earlier this season so far.
And I know you guys talked a little bit about playing music on the bus earlier and kind of getting hyped up. How would you guys say you get ready for a competition, whether that be personally or as a team?
Usually on the bus right there for about, like, depending on how far away it is for away games, we usually let people kind of listen to their own music, just do their own thing so they can get dialed. And then once we get either to the end of the bus ride, we turn the speaker on and play some music, or once we get there, we turn it on, and then we play our pregame playlist, and that usually gets people hyped. They're singing along, and then some people kind of visualize, or they just, like, dial in focus and stuff.
What positions do you guys play for softball, and what would you say is, like, your best skill at that position?
So I'm a catcher utility. I think my biggest thing is I can play any position except pitcher. I'm a terrible pitcher. Ask anyone on the team. But, yeah, anywhere.
So, Leah, as a catcher, how has the change of pitchers on the team kind of affected you?
It's definitely different. I mean, when you're a catcher, you're always taught to really get to know your pitcher, because you're the one who is always in a play with them, because no matter what play is happening, there always has to be a pitch to begin it. So not knowing these girls has definitely been a little bit of a road bump, but I think just with team bonding and stuff like that, we'll get to know each other.
I'm a middle infielder, and I feel like cheering everyone on is a very important part, and I think I do that personally well, because a lot of people will get down if they miss a throw, if they miss a catch or stuff like that. And I'm just there to have fun, and I want everybody else to have fun.
Paige, with being in the infield, it's a small infield. Like, you guys have to wear face guards because the ball can be coming right off the bat at you guys. What is that like for you? How do you deal with that?
Just being prepared, I guess. And I personally wear my mask in the infield. I feel a lot safer with that. So I just feel more prepared, I guess.
I play right field, but I also play first base. Right field's usually my top choice. So outfield, there's only three of us compared to the infield, and we're covering a lot more ground. So my biggest skill with outfield is honestly just hustling for every ball and giving it your all and, like, communicating with the center fielders. But then also you have to have a strong arm, which I feel I have a pretty strong arm, and I can throw the ball pretty fast, and just getting it in to make the play at whatever base there is.
I play center field and left, but I've played mostly center this year. And I think my biggest skill that helps the team is I can track a ball pretty well from, like, off the bat, because I listen to the sound it makes to know if it's going to be deeper, if I have to drop step, or if I have to move up. And then I also like diving for balls. That's pretty fun. And then when I play left, I like the foul line a lot, so.
And you guys have all been playing softball for a pretty long time, right? This being your last season of softball, what would you guys say is your biggest highlight from all your years playing softball? Like, favorite moment, best play you ever made, anything like that?
I think my favorite moment has to come from club ball, where it was like the seventh inning and we had two down and we had a runner on second and third and we needed to get both of them in. And magically, the stars align, and I ended up hitting a ball to right field, and it was perfect. And I think just the excitement from all the girls and being able to get those girls in and make that clutch play was definitely my favorite.
Going off of what Leah said, my biggest highlight from the season was last year I was diving for a ball, and I caught the ball not knowing I did, and I thought I dropped it. But it's even better that Jim Walbrock comes to our games and takes photos for free, just voluntary work. And he, like, caught my picture of it, and my eyes are closed and everything, but it just fell in my glove somehow.
I love that photo.
So one of my favorite memories was ninth grade. I was batting, and somehow the ball came up and got stuck in the middle of my cage, and I remember that very clearly.
Your helmet cage?
Yeah. Yep.
Going off what Paige said, I think my favorite memory has to come from my club team last year. We were at a tournament. I think it was in South Dakota, and it was, like, our second to last day there. And we were playing this team that just no one on our team liked because they just thought that they were better than everyone else, and they just had that attitude. And so we really wanted to beat them. I was playing left, and this one girl hit a ball to the gap, and we kind of had our center field cheating a little more into right because they were hitting that gap pretty well, so we were trying to stop that. And I was sprinting for it, and I caught it, and I ended up throwing a girl out at first, and then that kind of won the game for us, but that was a big moment for me.
So you guys have a game against Albert Lee tomorrow night. How are we looking going into that matchup?
It's definitely going to be slower. The pitcher pitches a little bit slower, which throws a lot of batters off compared to we just saw 65. And then last Thursday, we saw low 60s against the Mankato West pitcher, and this girl pitches 48 miles an hour. So there's a 20-mile-an-hour difference, roughly. So it's just having us batters timing the ball out and sitting back and then driving it to anywhere just to get people on. And also, we haven't been hitting the ball great this season yet, so it's time for us, all of us in the lineup, to just get our bats rolling and have